Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
Wow, like you speaking and I'm like, wow, that's all the things I say. That's wonderful. Yeah, I love it. It's so true. I asked about the God stuff because most people, let's say if they're religious and they follow a religion thing, I've kind of like talked to the missionaries about the God word, but I've noticed certain people, even growing up Jehovah's Witness, sometimes you cannot get two people to have an independent thought conversation. They just keep going to that book thing. So I stopped having those conversations because I would love to go into depth into it. I've noticed that when people say God, they just assume their God should be yours or mean your God as well. So I somewhat did that. And I also wanted to, based on you are in Utah and you mentioned LDS, so I wanted to see if that's what you meant as in like God, whatever, but I totally do the same thing. I agree with you. I am spiritual, and growing up, even when I grew up Jehovah's Witness, which was a blasphemy, and I still do it now proud. I am the son of God, and I am like, I feel like, and I know that God is within me and I am God. And that when you're talking about God or the universe, et cetera, and I'll tell people also that just because I say I'm the son of God or I'm God, it does not mean that you are not. Like I am, even like looking at you or talking to you, like I am you, you are me, and we're the same being. It's kind of like a bag of rice or a cup of rice. You make rice and people eat it, but there's all these different grains. And within the rice, there is this intelligence within the one grain of rice. So like, what is that? Even that has the intelligence and has God in it. And then you eat it and it fuels you. That's like God everywhere. And so this is why I was asking the question of when you do something, do you, not you, but like people, they will give all the praise to God. And when they do something bad, which I don't believe the word bad anyway, but they give that to the devil. And not many people take responsibility knowing that they are God and they're capable of doing those things. And they're giving that responsibility to something outside of them. So therefore, I feel that's a flaw, because if you do that, then you may not currently or presently have the, we all have that capacity, but in the present tense, not have the capacity of doing your own thing. Because if you just believe like everything good is with God's hands, then you're going to feel like either sitting on your hand or you're just going to wait for God for things to happen. Funny quick side story. I used to stutter chronically so bad that I had to do sign language. And then my parents were like, oh, God will cure you, or this is the work of God, so it's okay. So they were just complacent about it. Until a teacher was just like, because I did the short bus and go to those schools, what they call them, like special need, whatever. And it shows like, you're not like the other kids. You are capable with the work. So I had to do the work 4 years of high school. And like, no one could tell, like, maybe I had like speech impediment, whatever. And I do stutter sometimes when I talk to childhood because my tongue change instead of like grow. So it's like when I talk to other people that know me in childhood, I go back to that stutter for some reason because I'm going back to some kind of pattern. But for new people in my life, I speak. And I love that story in my life because I did the work. And someone else, the teacher who's like, you are capable. I'm going to pull you out of this and put you somewhere else where you can actually learn and do it. And it was the God in me and the God within her and not some person on the cloud, you know? And someone else could argue that. That's fine, to each their own. But I take self-accountability and responsibility for my life and my karma. And that's how I'm doing the good in my life. And I could feel the same for you as well.
Well, I mean, it's just like we're only as strong as the experiences that we are faced with, the trials and adversities we're faced with. But we have to overcome those to reap the strength and the rewards. So yes, if you really believe in God and you really are spiritual and you can change your perspective of obstacles and trials, that is a battleground. That is where you learn skills that you can't learn elsewhere. We don't learn by not experiencing. You know what I mean? The greatest insight, wisdom, knowledge comes from pain, suffering, and turmoil. Like that. That's where the magic happens. And I didn't understand that for the longest time. I just thought God hates me. This just sucks. But then, yeah, you know, finally, with you know people guiding me and directing me and helping me change my perspectives and my mentalities, like, you know, but that even goes to the other point. Like, no matter what it is, like, we need to be shown and guided in the right direction at times in our lives because, I mean, God's in all of us. That's what that other man is there. God works with all of us. We all work in rhythm and sync in ways that we will never understand because we only have this perspective. We don't see everything else that's happening and going on. Like, we have no idea.
In my experience, I feel like when I don't live in the present, that's when I have this narrow mind. When I'm in that victim, taking things personally, when people do things, that's when I have this. But when things happen in life and I live in the present and accept it, that's when I see the hindsight. You know, usually say hindsight like a week or a couple of years later. That's when I actually see the hindsight in the moment when I'm not self-victimized myself and taking responsibility. So what is your
reason? Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, totally. Another thing I learned when I was learning how to speak fluently, the teacher told me to never say try, never say I cannot, and never say hard. And she said to use hard, like a language thing. You can say challenging because you're going through like I don't know if you ever do those tough mutter things where people go like, couple of days doing like exercises and they get a prize, whatever. So those are like challenges of life. And it may seem hard, just like when you're learning something, like even though another word difficult, it's those words are untrue words because anything gonna seem, oh my God, I cannot do it because it's new. But obviously as you're doing it, you're like, this was easy. This wasn't hard. Like this is like second nature. Because if I was thinking, because when I would use the word, okay, I'll try to read this or I'll try to pronounce this, then even when you think of the word try or when you say, I wish, the minute you say, I wish, there's the thing, you can even practice that in your personal time. The minute you say that, there's this little thing inside that don't believe it, that doubt it. But when you say, I am doing this, there's this thing in there that's like, you feel like strong and you're gonna do it. And it's like, yeah, just a side story of my life of with language, which totally helped me. I don't know if you ever read the Four Agreements. Do you ever read the book Four Agreements? The Four Agreements? Mm-hmm. It's a great book. It talks about one of their agreements based on speech. It talks about how language can make an effect on people because you think about it and then you utter it. And that's why words are called spells. You're making magic in a sense. In other words, not taking things personally when people do things to us, if we take it personally, that's another magic that it can make you feel down and broken. But if you don't take it personal, you're very powerful and no one has power over you, kind of a thing. But so what is your relationship with your adopted parents currently?
Well, my adopted dad committed suicide when I was 2 months old. He was going to be going to prison for the stuff that he did. So, and then my birth mom, that was part of my my transformation. That was when my demons, abandonment, I didn't understand the situation. I didn't know all the details of the situation. I was just under the impression that basically this woman didn't want me and that I didn't have value and I was of no worth. And so I that was my biggest demon. And so, I mean, what led to me getting to where I'm at now was actually going to meet her. I was in Utah. I was shooting up on the needle. So I was doing meth, IV meth usage. And I was about, my phone just got shut off. I was about to lose my car. And once that happened, I already know myself. I'm going to survive. I'm not going without. And so that means I'm going to go back to prison. And so I ended up just driving cross country to go meet her. And I mean, that's a whole nother story. That's an interesting story. but then I went out and met her, and my relationship with her now, due to obviously the efforts I had to go to even get to meet her, the intent of meeting her, like, why am I doing this drive? Why am I going across country? Because I wanted something. And what I wanted was so great that I went through great measures, overcame many obstacles to attain that. And I have literally taken that life experience of going to meet my birth mom, getting sober, which led to college and everything now. I really internalized that I can do anything. If I put my mind to it, yeah, I can defy and overcome any odds because I've already done it. You know what I mean? And my birth mom is a huge part of that. You know what I mean? Because I had that demon. Like, how could I not go meet my birth mom and, you know, have that closure, those conversations, whatever it was that was driving me there. That was my greatest demon. And that's once that demon got chopped the head, things started to change. And so, like, my relationship today is great with her. We're obviously two different people. But, you know, that experience and that relationship has transformed me. That was my biggest demon, with my, you know, that abandonment. So, great relationship. I didn't meet her till I was, what, 28 years old. So it was a long time in the making, and it was very, very very needed, very much needed. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if that answers your question.
So are you don't have a relationship with her anymore? It faded, you say?
No. We have a relationship, but she lives cross country now. I'm back in Utah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're obviously two different people. She's doing her thing. She's a great woman, right? Amazing heart, amazing soul, beautiful soul. Same demons that, you know, I struggle with in my life. And those are her demons, and her struggle does not deflect from who she is as a person, her heart. You know, I mean, she doesn't hurt anybody. She doesn't do anything negative towards anybody. She's mm-hmm. basically just been hurt her whole life by other people.
Yeah.
But she, you know, so we, great relationship. Great relationship. I mean, I don't know if I explained that right, but I mean, yeah, there's nothing negative right. about it. It's been a transformative relationship, basically in any form that comes in, the closure that came with it and the understanding of what she went through. I was just an innocent bystander. She's the real victim. You know what I mean? Especially when her mom abandoned her after bringing the predator into the house, not listening to her own daughter, like everything she went through. Like, yeah.
How about your adopted parents? What's your relationship with them?
Great. great. So they live in Utah. That's where I spend most of my holidays with. I was just over there on the weekend, drove down there on Saturday to go hang out with family, you know. Great relationship. I've had to work through a lot of resentments for, you know, how I believe that they responded to my actions earlier in life, like sending me away. Well, they didn't understand psychology and that was going to feed into my demons. They didn't know that. They were just like, oh my gosh, our son is doing this. Like, what's going to happen? Like, they didn't even know that they were not exposed to that world or those behaviors at all throughout their life experiences. They never experienced what I brought to the family. So they just did the best they could. And I've worked through a lot of, you know, my internal stuff, you know what I mean? The way that I perceive things, and I've had to transform those in order to continue that relationship, because those were also part of my demons: resentment, shame, guilt, all those things you talk about. Those are literally what create addiction. And then, you know, that's the foundation. And then all the monetizations that come afterwards, all the ways people find a way to make a quick buck off of people's pain and suffering. You know what I mean? Rehab, there's so much insurance fraud in the rehab system. These aren't actually necessarily for to help you, but we're going to put something in place so we can, you know, take advantage of your insurance company. Great relationship.
Oh, that's cool. I'm curious with the LDS thing. So, and you can correct me if I'm using the wrong words. Since you're going through all this turmoil within you, did you ever think about, like, if God wouldn't fix it or the church wouldn't fix it, and why didn't fix it? Because if it's like, because you know how they teach, like, if you go religion, your life will be wonderful. And I see all those missionaries, they post on their Facebook, life is great and all this stuff. And I do understand now, because before I took it personal, but now I'm like, okay, you're a child, this is fed to you. And as you mentioned, like, until you're 25, your brain is just, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So therefore you're just repeating things, and I'm not going to hold you up to it. Like, it's whatever, live your life. And so I'm like, okay, if religion, and as you also mentioned, which I believe, religion is there for certain people that need it, if it works for them, definitely. And I feel like people need structure. And as for me, because I was different, you know, out of 8 billion people, I'm just different that way. So I need my own structure with my own experiences of in learning. And I do not need religion. Although being raised Jehovah's Witness, things that I've learned, I still get in my life, but I feel like it's not a religion thing. It's just like a life thing that I just kept in my life as a structure that I've learned to get me out of trouble. But I wouldn't say it's because I'm using the religion stuff, because I feel like if you have self-awareness, you're mindful, and you apply your experiences that you learn in life, you're gonna do the stuff to get away from trouble, kind of a thing. Until you, if you don't know, then you're gonna still be in trouble because you don't know. So, like, why didn't religion fix you or fix it? What do you think? Did you ever ask that question?
Well, I never expected religion to fix me. To me, religion is just a lifestyle. So it's like a format with its own structure that becomes a lifestyle. So that lifestyle, it negates exposure to maybe situations, people, places, activities, whatever it is that might lead you down some rocky roads. So it, to me, like, being raised LDS and seeing all the values, all, like, you know, when I say the rules or the guidelines, it's just a direction to help reduce your chances at experiencing, you know, those things that will take you down those darker roads. So it's just about, like, limiting, you know, the negative paths in life. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that it was ever explained or, like, this is going to fix you or this. It's like, hey, here's a little guideline. Here's a little book. You know what I mean? If you listen to this, you're going to have a better chance at having a good life, because you're not going to be exposed to X, Y, and Z. You're not going to, you know, interact with X, Y, and Z, and you're not even going to give X, Y, and Z, you know, the time of day, because X, Y, and Z is going to potentially lead you down this road. So it's just a guidelines and a direction to just say preventative maintenance. It's like preventative maintenance. know, right. Don't drink, well, you won't have alcohol problem. You won't die from alcohol. You don't drink, well, then you're probably going to be less likely to be exposed to other drugs. You know what I mean? So it all makes sense. And I get it. Yeah. And some people need that.
Yeah.
And I mean, all power to them. All power to them. Like, it's not bad. It's good. And God works with all people, no matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter if you're in maximum security in prison. Doesn't matter if you're in Guantanamo Bay. God can work and will work for anybody, especially if you give him that access and you open up your mind. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so beautifully said. That's amazing. When I saw your page, I'm like, I cannot wait to see your progression and your growth. I feel like great things that you're gonna start doing, and you're already doing, and for yourself, and you're gonna do for others. And thank you for even having me part of that, kind of indirectly, knowing about your story. That's awesome. So when did you start having, tell us about your tattoos. You don't need to go through all of them, but like what, when, I love them, by the way. Like when I saw this guy in the Lady Gaga video, the skull guy, I think he died a couple years ago though, or maybe last year or something. If you remember this guy, he's like, I think he's called Skull Guy. He had the skull.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Asian magazines.
Yeah. He is awesome. And I'm like, that's so beautiful. And that should be more celebrated in life. However, I would still love to know kind of like the story of tattoos. Because the only tattoos that I actually wanted, and I haven't got because of money, I want to have wings in my back. Because that's the only thing I gravitate toward. But I would love to know their story of the tattoos. So briefly, can you tell us?
I have over 100 hours of work on me. All but three of my tattoos are prison tattoos. I guess you could put it like this. If you're locked in your cell 23 hours a day and you're with a dude who can tattoo, and you know, you can go pay $50, get a motor from a CD player and build a tattoo gun. You can spend $3 on some pomade for hair and burn it into ink. Like, why not? What else have we got to do? I'm sick of staring at the wall. So My tattoos are, all but three are prison. I got my head, back, shoulders, arms, hands, legs, foot, everything, head, toe, stomach, chest, everything. But they some of them have more like specific significance to me, but accumulatively, it's a period of my life. So like these take me back. These are representations of life experiences I've had. You know what I mean? Like even right here, I put it, you know, so I can read it. So this says betrayal for me to read it. Just to remind
what?
Me, it says betrayal to remind me, because my Fed case was founded on lies, the entire case. And so it's just to remind me that no matter how close someone is to you or what you do for somebody, just remember that betrayal is always a possibility. And now that I understand human nature, it's 100% a possibility.
Yeah. I'm glad that you studied psychology, and because I studied psychology too. When I learned these things, and also reading a lot of self-help books and the book that says Don't Take Things Personally, I just smile and be like, okay, I expect that from humans, because I'm expected to also do it because I'm human. So yeah, that's a great realization and acceptance. Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I have specific things. I have, you know, things that represent certain things. But I mean, I got blessed, because I can't deny that I am blessed. And this is my last prison tattoo. I got this, so after 3.5 years, I got this like 60 days before I was about to get released. Like, this is my last, that's my last tattoo I ever got, was blessed.
Nice.
And so I mean, I might just keep it at that, but regardless, even though I've done all that time and experienced all these things, like, I can't deny that I am blessed. You know what I mean?
That's a great thing to know and utter, because a lot of people, it's all about something happened to me. Yeah, it's happened to you, but then they don't think about the other little blessings in their lives. That's wonderful.
Well, and like being adopted, like, so a common denominator in the prison system is foster system gets filtered into the juvenile system. The juvenile system gets filtered into the adult penitentiary. And this has been known for a while, but nothing's been being done about it. And so I'm blessed to have been adopted. I am blessed to, even though I was adopted, like I have two half siblings and they were also adopted out, and their adopted families have like abandoned them, like basically written them off. And I'm so blessed. That's why I love the LDS religion, because without its family values,
yes,
there's no way that my parents would have put up with me 100%. And God knew that. That's why this family adopted me, that the odds were against me to get adopted, but I was adopted. Not only that, but a family that had the values to deal with me and my issues, to hold strong when they want to pull away. But because of their religion and their identity, you know, with God, I was protected from that. And I don't underestimate the power of that. And I am very grateful for that. Even though I might have these personal opinions of this, this, and this, I still understand like the probability equations in life, like every action with this. And I'm so blessed.
That's
now,
so amazing.
All sorts of things. Like, it's nuts.
That's beautiful. One thing I've noticed, and you just mentioned about the LDS church, because when I wanted to talk to, because I'm in different groups and meet different people, and I've noticed one thing, a lot of people who has the LDS background, and we didn't know that until our purpose to talk wasn't based on that. It was just like, yes, that story. But I've noticed a lot of people who either ex LDS or even currently, they rarely want to talk about their experience. But when they do, even I've had two guys in the future podcast, it's on schedule, so you'll see it. They never talk bad about the religion. And I'm like, huh, that's a very interesting thing. But when I talk to Jehovah's Witness, it's all about talking bad about it. And of course, those things did happen. And it's human nature to vent, to complain, and to feel like a victim. And I've noticed a thing, though. Yeah, you're a victim, but the Jehovah's Witnesses don't rise out of that. They still feel about it. But when talk to an LDS, they talk about those things that did happen, and then they still thankful for the church, and then they rise out of that. And for, as you study psychology or neuropsychology, taking that self-responsibility and forgiving or letting go and moving forward propels you for a better life, even mentally and in your heart. And I've noticed maybe there's something there in LDS that help people do that. And in Jehovah's Witness, it keeps them from propelling forward because they're still in that state of defeatness. So when you talking, I was like, oh, that's another one. That's beautiful. I love that. And although I was raised in Jehovah's Witness, I have that Mormon thing where I didn't, things happen and I don't feel like a victim. I don't feel defeated. I know I'm God. So I'm capable and I am possible. Like the word, when people say impossible, I said, yes, it says, I am possible. That's what the word means. So you just change the meaning for something bad and you just change it. So I love hearing that. That's wonderful.
Well, wow. And I like too, where you go with the internal dialogue. So the episode that I'm going to be releasing is literally how altering my internal dialogue has literally, that's how you change your trajectory. And it's not overnight, it's incremental. But like, that's one of the most powerful tools. And you keep bringing it up and you're so totally on point. Like the internal dialogue, we tell ourselves we can or can't do. Well, that determines the options that we have coming up. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Actually, today I did a schedule podcast and I talk about what grinds my gear. And the last thing that grinds my gear is pessimism. And I had a partner, anything that I wanted to do, he'd be like, oh, that can happen. And it was like pessimism, negativity. And I didn't understand where we were together, but now I get it. It's like, maybe his past is part of his life and that's why he's like that. But being with him, I didn't understand that. But now I understand and I'm like, okay, but that's not who I am. People call me, I didn't know those words until then, pragmatic and positive, because I feel like anything is possible. I can do it. If men can have what we're using right now, like 100 years ago, it was just a thought.
Yeah.
And if those thoughts were killed, we would not have this right now.
Yeah.
So like, that's like perfect example. People can put that in the front of their heads, but a lot of people don't. And so question I have with you with the tattoo though, like how are you, because you're doing greater things in your life right now, how are you navigating in the world knowing you have tattoo and how the world perceives you? What is your, how are you feeling in your heart and what is your thought process? Does it affect you or not?
Having tattoos does not affect me. It hasn't actually affected me in one actually like impactful negative way since I got out. It hasn't prevented me from any opportunity that being a felon hasn't prevented me from. So having tattoos actually hasn't done anything. It actually, being I'm leveraging it, you can turn anything that might be perceived as a negative into a positive, depending on how you do it. And so that's why I'm a felon. I got tattoos. I'm a recovering addict. I say I used to shoot up with the needle. Like, I don't care. I am who I am because of everything I have, every choice I made. I give two craps what anybody else thinks because I'm going to do it anyways.
Yes.
You can't love stop it. Me.
Ah, you're amazing. Oh, I love it. Yeah, because since who, they're another human being. Like, you know, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad we're having this conversation. And it's awesome. People are going to watch this. And hopefully when they're ready, they can get inspired and even do their work themselves. Wow. So what is your, if you still have it, or if you're working on it, what is your shame, guilt, and fear?
Fear of failure, shame of where I came from, my birth origins, and then guilt for the, you know, the crimes I committed to feed my addiction.
And so what, how are you working on letting them go? And what are steps that you're taking that someone else who has similar situation can take from you to do better in their lives?
Well, fear is natural. We're going to feel fear, but there's no courage without fear. So now that I've grasped the concept that fear gives me power to respond as I see fit. So fear to me is a tool. I'm not saying it's easy to turn into a tool, but you need fear. And so use fear to be and do anything you want to do, because that's what courage stems from, is fear. Courage is born through fear.
Yeah.
And then shame and guilt. I mean, when we hold things in, when we are secretive about things, when we lie, when we do all these things, the level and the depth of the toxicity that we feel, and it stems into our future actions, our future mindsets and stuff like that. And then accepting that what we did in our past, singular actions, that's what they are. They're singular. What matters is the accumulative picture. I get really torn down inside on like singular actions that I've done, but now I understand this is where God and spirituality has been powerful for me, that that's not who I am. That doesn't define me. And the moment, so now, living the present now, is literally every second that passes is a moment to do something new, to do something different. And nothing is dramatic. It is incremental. I'm real big on incremental progress. Seeking the 1% a day type thing. We got enough going on, enough worries and stresses that like, it's crazy how breaking something down can actually allow us to comprehend the whole like concept of it. Like, I don't really know how else to explain it. I don't know if that helps anybody, but I mean, everything's a choice. You may not, it's not a choice to feel an emotion, but how we respond to it is 100% a choice. Like how we respond to anything is a choice. I can't control this man, but I can respond how I react emotionally, mentally, and physically, verbally. all that is a choice. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, I just, that's why I study, that's why I love philosophy, psychology, and, you know, all that kind of stuff on under human nature, just understanding what I have to work with and what, and how I can, you know, maneuver around that and redirect myself. I don't know if that helps, but.
Oh, it helps. I didn't go through what you went through. I don't have similarities, but you're very inspiring. And I think our conversation, and it's like, as you mentioned, it's like, I've decided in my life that any, like someone else, because I have reverence for any being, and especially another human being or any being, that anything anyone has to say, even if it's perceived negative to life, I often ask questions like, what is this right now? And I tend to not get into a lot of trouble, because when people come at me, we know, like some people, when they come at them and people want to fight and have that defensiveness, when people come at me, usually I do this. I hold my hand out and I cinemize another human being. And I'm like, kind of like internally go like, who hurt you? I'm here as a friend. Like the alien meme says, that says like, we're friends, welcome to Earthlings, kind of a thing. And I'm not there to fight you, because I know as another human being, you have demons to fight, and I'm not one of your demons. Even if you perceive me as that, I'm gonna tell you I'm not that. So therefore, yeah, totally gotcha. So what is your goal for the future?
So, I mean, that's a loaded question. Well, just real quick, my goal basically is using my understanding and this knowledge I'm going to obtain on like molecular genetics, molecular biology, how to CRISPR and all those tools, going to business, the soul, purpose and mission is to eradicate addiction, while also in that process providing medical science solutions for it. We can eradicate a lot of things now. We have the technology, the ability. I mean, look, open heart surgeries. Now we're 3D printing hearts and livers. I mean, we've been playing God for a long time. We've been doing transplant, like all sorts of things. So take that to addiction genetics, and then during that time, politics, justice reform, and then once I have the education and the socioeconomic status, then I can basically go into politics in whatever depth I want. So phase one leads into phase two, and yeah.
That's wonderful work. You are self-building, and in turns, directly or indirectly, you are inspiring others as well, because you are building, basically. So when you are building, it's beauty, and people attracted to beauty. So they will see that and either join you or get inspired to do their own. So that's great. Do you have the support that you need, or are you being supported in your life right now?
I've been given all the tools. You know, people cross your paths for reasons. You know, my internship that's a huge support, you know, college, huge support. And then my family, you know what I mean? My family supports me now, especially that I have action to show that I mean what I say. And so the level of support from there, emotionally, mentally, it has been overwhelming. So for me to come out here from Ohio, where I was going to the Ohio State University, transfer to University of Utah, I had to come stay with family for a month or two while I got, you know, jobs, money, and then transferred to the University of Utah. And I have all the support. I'm blessed. You know what I mean? It may not always be what I want, but what I want is what I need. I always have what I need. And that's kind of been, that's like the premise of my whole life. I've always had what I needed. Doesn't mean that I acknowledged it or understood it, but I've always had what I needed. You know what I mean?
That's great. Need and want. That's awesome. Like, yeah. So why was it important for you to tell your story today?
That's been something that's been building over time. I have my own fears. You know what I mean? I love talk, have conversation, but I also have, you know, platform situations that I fear. I also fear failure. So how can I inspire someone when I fear that tomorrow I potentially may fail? I mean, I fight that fear constantly. And so these things aren't just like one fix, like magical solution. No, this consistency. This is, you have to ingrain these into your thought process and mentalities. So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Do you know Dr. Wayne Dyer?
Who?
Dr. Wayne Dyer. So Dr. Wayne Dyer, he passed a couple of years ago, but he was a spiritual speaker and spiritual teacher. He talked about the fear of failure thing. And I kind of like knew it because you know, when they say fear of failure or fear of success, I would say, based on what I've read, I don't like to basically pigeonhole it, but I would say I had that fear of success thing, although it wasn't really defined. But he mentioned something that totally changed my world. You know, you change your thought and your mind will, your life will change. So he said something like, when we have that fear of failure or fear of success or these fear things, it's because we are living in the future because we have expectation of the future and we're just, our minds are just living in there while we can just be in the present because the present is the only thing that exists. So whatever you're doing now is successful because you are doing it. You're doing the best that you know now because 5 years before, you know, your mental wasn't there. And 5 years from now, you have no idea where your mental will be because you can only look back and kind of like do a contracts thing. So that totally helped me, if it will help you as well, to not have that thing of, because I even say I am successful in my life because I'm doing the best that I can of what I know and the things that are available to me. So therefore I'm successful. To the world of what success is, I'm probably not because I don't make six figures, but you know what? I don't care because I have what I need. As you mentioned, I am, I forget what that study was about, the pyramid of what someone need, like food, shelter, etc. I have all of those things and more. So therefore I am successful. And I feel like my number one success of life is, this is good. I don't have any mental illnesses I'm battling. My addiction could be minimal to other people, but it's still an addiction. I've been battling sugar addiction as well as binging on Netflix additions. I mean, compared to what you've gone through, definitely there's like ranges, but it's still something like a human thing that I have to like really think about and stop doing because I know it's not good for my betterment of building. Those things are not building my health or my mental health because it's not good to like binge watching and not building this. So I would say definitely I know I'm successful because I'm not battling so much. And even if I was battling it, at least when you have that, if you're mindful and you know, because you have to know to start doing, like you know now, when you know, I feel like it's still success. So therefore, so therefore, of course, fear is natural, but you say you're leveraging it and using it as an ally, because I feel like those things, they are temporarily friends and temporary allies that can like motivate you. But if you like to be a victim, you're going to use them as a thing that punches you down while they can be something that can propel you to go up. Because if you fear something, I saw a quote that says, having courage is not the lack of fear. Like you're going to have fear, but you can still have the courage to do something because you are capable. You are possible. It is possible to do this. So I love your mindset and I love, you're so inspiring and I love how you are deciding to do something. And some people, to each their own, who says, like, let's say the men in the sky, God can do it for them, to each their own. Like some people, yeah. I met a lady, she was all about God in the sky and he did this for her. And she believes that it's happening for her. I'm not gonna argue with that. However, I just like you, yeah, if God helped you, but you're doing all these things. It's like, I don't think you sat on your hand on your ass and all these things happen. So that's great. That's so inspiring. So what is like, what are the life lessons have you taken away from your experiences? Let's say if someone is like, what's that thing called? Not ground zero. What is that word people use?
What do you mean?
Like people who've gone through addiction use that word, like not ground zero, but when you like—
Oh, rock bottom.
Rock bottom. Yes, that's the word.
Rock bottom.
So let's say if you met someone on the street and they're in rock bottom, what are the lessons have you taken away from your experience that you could tell them that maybe that can make them go like, okay, like, I'm done with this. Like, what is like a little, yeah.
Well, I mean, for in reference to rock bottom, I mean, for me, that was being in prison, being at the complete mercy and will of another human being at no acknowledgement of me as a human. There's nothing anybody else can do that's worse than what you've already experienced. Like, what have you got to fear now? Like, what have you got to lose that you haven't already lost before? Therefore, you have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
There's nothing anyone can do other than kill me to give me what I have already, I've already experienced. I've already experienced it all. And anybody who hits rock bottom, you've experienced the worst. There's nothing anyone else can do to you. So you have nothing to fear anymore. That's another way to battle fear. It's like, what are you going to do? I've already been to hell. Like,
yes. You're going
to threaten me with hell? I ain't scared of you. You know what I mean? Like,
love it. Yeah. Even with, I don't know what Jesus went through, but there's a, I don't know if they teach that in LDS church, but I think part of the Bible says even Jesus went to hell. And I feel like that hell could be figurative or it could be the his experiences that he went. And those are hell. And when you're elated and happy and have joy, those are paradise. Because I have lived in paradise more than half of my life, because I did half of my life being Jehovah's Witness and the other half not. And when I was Jehovah's Witness, I was just in, I would say I was in zombie land, because I had no self accountability and self thought. I was just brainwashed and living, just being a robot basically. And unlike a lot of people who bash Jehovah's Witness, I don't bash them, because I feel like growing up with them put me where I am now, because I still implement a lot of stuff that they teach that I'm still doing. As you mentioned before, it's like a guide. And if you keep it and it helps you not experiencing these things because you don't need to, kind of a thing, or you don't have to. And so, yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask something really important. So I've noticed that you use the word addict, and some people don't like that term. They feel like it's like a dirty word or it's offensive.
You say addict?
Yeah. So like, who's been an addict? Or even the word junkie. Some people don't like those. You haven't used that one, but like some people don't like, they feel like.
That's how guilt, come, shame, and yeah. Fear exhibiting themselves in their perception of the word.
Repeat that.
That's their guilt, shame, and fear exhibiting itself in their definition and perception of the word. They've given it that meaning. You choose to give it that negative context. I don't. I used to be a junkie, used to be an addict, used to steal stuff, used to be I'm an ex-con. Like, I've done it all. I don't care.
So you would say kind of like also a denial of what you've done and be having shame about it. But if you just like say it, and then as human beings, we do a lot of, as human beings, so many people do things in our closet, and not because we don't know about it doesn't mean they haven't done it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, as human beings, we do a lot of shit. So own our shit, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that we choose how we perceive things and we choose how we respond to things. So it's a choice to have that negative context. I mean, like you said, though, each to their own. Maybe having that negative for some reason will help them get some positives. I don't know.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah. I don't hide from my past. I don't hide from anything I've done, whatever it is. Sure, I've been called everything in the book. I care less what you think.
You know, yes, I mean? That doesn't define you. Ooh. Yeah, that's awesome. And on your Facebook, you mentioned that you are a stigma destroyer. Can you tell us about that? Like, how you feel?
Well, when you judge a book by its cover, you end up meeting people like me. Mm-hmm. Just yeah. Because someone looks something, our initial perceptions of people are based on our life experiences and our ingrained biases. Mm-hmm. And everybody is biased. We are all biased. And so, I mean, based on where I've been, what I've done, what I look like, people are like, oh yeah, he has to be this, this, or this. Well, watch me make it to where maybe you were never able to make it while being this, this, and this. Prove you all wrong, show you anybody can do literally anything.
Nice, nice. I love that. And I also, as growing up in this human world, I had those tendencies. And one thing I love to do, I'm a scientist, but not by a degree, but because I love studies and I love learning and implementing what I learn, that if I see something that doesn't do good for me or for other people, I challenge myself to do better or the opposite. So when you're talking about like seeing the perception of people in it, et cetera, I've been practicing to, and even people who met me, they tell me that. And knowing that what they tell me, and I practice it, knowing that I'm doing something right, like, oh, my practice is excelling. When I see people, I see their aura and their energy. Even through the computer or even on a photo, sometimes you can feel someone's aura and energy. Not like, example, not like their entire life, but like on a video or a photo, based on how they pose. Even if they pose like put on a mask, acting something for the photo somehow. And to me, it's not like a judging thing. It's just like feeling an energy of maybe how they're feeling, because it's like body language or the way their eyes are or their poses, et cetera. And I rely on that more than their exterior or even what they've done in the past, because I know that human psychology thing. Because I also know, as we know, so many people do things behind closed doors, not because we don't see it doesn't mean they haven't done it. So therefore, why burning people at the stake for things that we can see? 100%. And that's like really, that's just like mental. Like we know all of that, but we're still doing it. Which lead to the last thing. Actually, I wrote all this stuff here that says about 330 million people living abusing drugs, alcohol, and smoking, and all doing all these things that society deemed as bad for oneself or for self. But then why are we still banking on shaming ourselves, guilting others, judging ourselves and others, and putting people at the stake while we have skeleton in the closet? What is your thought about that? Like, why?
Well, I think that's a reflection of social culture. And then once you start to understand how hard it is to control a population of 330 million people, the systemic ways in which that psychological forms of warfare, whether that's poverty, whether that's putting someone on welfare and saying, hey, if you do anything outside of these, you lose all this. Now you've got these people stuck down here. Yeah, I think it's just a form of social culture that's been basically infiltrated to basically create dysfunction and chaos and, get people so wrapped up in their own lives and survival that they're no longer a threat to, say, this government, this organization. And I just believe that social culture plays such a huge role in these things. And obviously social culture has a history. And then we go to the prison system, we saw strategic things were run about. I'm not going to keep off the box that this isn't part of, the American experiment. That's what they call it, the American experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From what I've seen, I feel like I don't like saying that anymore. I used to say if people would do this, in that term, if someone do this, the world would do better. And I don't say that anymore because I feel like it comes from ego, as if I know better what the world should do because there's 8 million people. How I think of for someone, I feel like just anything. I've seen a laughing baby on YouTube and there were thumbs down. So regardless what it is, someone's not going to like it. So therefore, who am I to say if the world did that? But in that cliche kind of a term, in my experience, because I've applied it, because I've often had other qualities, but I didn't apply empathy until about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I did not understand that concept of walking someone else's shoes. And when I did, of course, when you experience it, that's when it clicks. And now I understand definitely that concept of empathy and compassion and seeing someone as me. And that's one of the reasons that even when I have a thought about somebody, and something I'm still working on mostly with when it comes to the dating scene, because it's more personal. When I have a thought about somebody I'm potentially want to date, you go through that fear of like judging them. And I have to like remind myself, like, I can see that person. When I look in the mirror, if I see that person and you want to treat yourself good, see that person that way. And as the compassion and empathy and understanding their stories. So that helped me a lot personally in my life. So this is why I could say if people did that, because then you won't see that person as a, oh, convict or a junkie or an addict, whatever. Those things are actions, but those things are not where we came from, because I do believe and know, because I see it and I feel it. We all come from a space of love. And if we helped each other, we can stay in that space and propel each other to be there. So that's all I have in my questions. Is there anything else you want to say before we go?
No, I just appreciate it. I love your perspective and, you know, your worldview and your mentalities. I mean, keep doing what you're doing, getting, you know, inspiration, hope, and, you know, sharing your insights and, you know, your understandings of other people.
Yeah. Tell us about your website.
I just created Felon Experience or felonexperience.net. I'm going to start tying in a lot of the things that I'm doing and justice reform initiatives. And that's why I put .net for network. So right now it's just, you know, spreading hope, courage, through my life and my experiences, because I'm just a firm believer. If I can do it, literally anyone can do it. If someone can fall down into the sewers and rise up to the top of the tower, like, anybody can do it. And a lot of people just don't believe in themselves, or they don't understand why they can't get away from things. Like, so it's just education, hope, inspiration, and just kind of bring people together, because I believe in diversity. I believe in teamwork. Nothing great happens by one man. You know, no man's success is based off of just him. I don't agree with self-made, because somewhere along the line, somebody helped you, someone gave you opportunity, someone opened the door. So that's kind of my goal. And then I'll start adding resources over time as it starts growing. And just, so that's kind of my passion, little side project that I'm going to do while I start school, you know, next month and stuff. So it's just for anybody struggling, you know, my struggles, addiction and institutionalization and overcoming societal barriers placed in front of men and women like me. And, you know, the principles of demons and struggles are literally the same. They are the same. The solutions to them are the same. Doesn't matter what it is. It all starts in here.
Right. Wow. Beautiful. Thank you so much. I am so blessed and grateful to be in contact with you. And I'm very, no words. And you're very inspiring. And thank you for your story today. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. It was amazing.
Hey, it was awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah, totally.
And one thing too, just so you understand, like, you are doing me a great service right now by even getting this opportunity, because like I said, I haven't talked to anybody like I have just with you. I've had my personal conversations. I've had my network, business, school conversations, but on something like this, I've never done this. So this is an opportunity for me to face some fears and to grow and to learn through this, because especially as I get into politics and I start doing things that I'm doing, this is skill set and experience that is vital and very important. And so, we've been doing this. I've been analyzing. I've seen what you've been doing. I've seen what I've been doing. You know what I mean? So this is a huge learning experience for me. And this is how you grow. You know what I mean? You take advantage of opportunities. You expose yourself to these situations and skills that you don't have. That's how you get them. You expose yourself.
Right. And
you've done me huge, huge service just by even talking to me. You can release it in a year, you release it in 90 days, you never release it. Like, you have literally just, this is my first step towards some of my fears and things I need to work on. So
that's great. Thank you. And you, it's like the same. I just, as you, it's funny you mentioned about the no man is I forget that term. No man does anything by himself. Like, it takes a community. Actually, on Mondays, I post a solo podcast where I talk, whatever. And that's one of my, it's on schedule, but that's one of the podcasts I made that, because I see all these people like goes in chains and self-made. And I was like, I'm tired of that. Let me talk about that. Like, you're not self-made. I have like so many businesses online. When I sell a t-shirt, someone bought that t-shirt. If I become successful on that, because people supported me.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
yeah, even if I made that t-shirt, I had to have the t-shirt company to print it. I had to do it on the computer. I didn't make the computer. I didn't make the company. Like, anyway, yes, that's wonderful. It's refreshing to basically to hear someone else, you know, sometimes. Yeah, that's great. But yeah, that's all for today. Thank you so much for being doing this with me.
Hey, thanks,
man. And I'm blessed as well for you, Tyler.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good one.